Stuff before the break, in the middle of Os Lamed Vav, Ramchal is beginning to wade in with us into the first major issue. He said this up until now has been, in a sense, warm up or laying the groundwork, and now we're going to start talking about Yichud HaBuri. And let's see, he had begun in Os Lamed Daled to working towards appreciating the purpose of the world and our purpose. Specifically, we're begin to work on the notion of being Megala Yichud HaBorei, bringing to light HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yichud. And to understand that, we need to understand, he expressed the idea that Yichud Hashem is unique in the sense that it's hard to speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's qualities. Rambam talks about talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's negative qualities. It's hard to really speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wisdom. We can say what he's not. It's hard to say what he is because it's in divine terms and all of our terminology is invariably horribly limited because we're talking human terms, finite human terms about an infinite divine reality. So that's what the Rambam already develops the idea that it's really all negative attributes. When we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wise, we're saying what he's not. He's not foolish. And so on and so forth. Ramchal says, had said in the Os Lamed Daled, look, Yichud HaBorei is largely a negative statement. There aren't multiple forces. When we talk about the uniqueness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To speak of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's uniqueness for Yichud HaBorei, that's something we can speak about with more substance than almost anything else we can say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Os Lamed Hey, the Neshama had said, okay, Yichud HaBorei, it's pretty straightforward. Okay, Hashem Echad, sure. What do I need to know? So, and we left off in the middle of Os Lamed Vav. The Seichel says, yeah, the basics of Yichud HaBorei are easy to formulate, but there's a lot of depth to be worked through. He had said that a key point is to recognize what are the ideas that we are rejecting. What are the erroneous, incorrect ideas accurate Yichud HaBorei rejects. And he had said on page Yud Gimel, we're rejecting notions of Avodah Zarah, we're going to be rejecting unsophisticated ideas, Rov Hamon Am Haaretz, we're going to be rejecting non-Jewish ideas, Belayed Goyeha Ratzos, and we would be rejecting certain ideas of wicked Jews. Belayed Poshe Yisrael HaRishonim, Shoresh Kisrul Asos. We had left off last time by looking at the first two of the five mistaken ideas. We saw Taos number one and Taos number two. Let's recap that briefly, and then we'll jump into the upcoming to Uyos. The bottom of page of Gimel, he had sketched out, and going to page of Daled, there are two erroneous ideas that Avodah Zarah might put forth. Number one is to assume that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is beyond all of this, sort of like a vertical idea. There's God, but he's way up there. He's not going to dirty his hands with taking care of people and animals. He's up there, out there, entirely transcendent. In terms of taking care of business, the underlings actually take care of business. That is Apikorsis. That is Avodah Zarah. And that is mistaken idea number one. That's sort of like a vertical idea. God's up there, and then there are Malachim or what have you who are actually taking care of business, who actually run the show. That's absolutely erroneous. Avodah Zarah thinking type one. Avodah Zarah thinking type two is what we can think of as sort of the horizontal picture. Not that there's God up there, then the angels actually take care of us down here, but that there are two parallel gods, two parallel deities. There's the good and the bad. That's an idea that already is put forth in Zoroastrianism. And it's an idea that we spoke about last time, that the Christianity classically sees in a God versus Satan picture, You read C.S. Lewis, you read Milton, you come across this Christian notion of sort of Satan is in the basement and he's fighting against God. That's another iteration of the same idea. It's the idea that Yeshayahu rejects when he says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yotzar Borei Choshech, Yotzar Shalom Borei Ra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It may not always seem that way, but it absolutely is that way. So that was mistaken idea number two. Question.
I'm assuming about these mistaken ideas and apikorsis. Is that bound by the Rambam's 13
Yud Gimel Ikar? Why is this? It's wrong, but why is it apikorsis?
Yeah. Or apikorsis isn't bound by the Yud Gimel
Ikar. No. These are rejections. These absolutely. You ask well. And they are apikorsis because they do run afoul of the Ikar, 13 Ikar Yamuna. The second one, both of them run afoul of Ikar number two, which is Yichud HaBorei, which is that's not what we're talking about. The first one might even run afoul of Ikar number one. There may be a certain rejection of the notion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually powering the universe, which is part of Ikar number one. Certainly, they're both are rejections of Ikar number two, which is Achdus Yichud HaBorei. Yeah.
I think we spoke about this, but I just forgot. Where does the Rambam? Does he just make it up, or he bases off the 13 Ikar Yamuna off of something? Like, where does he?
He sources all of them in Pesukim.
But he's the first one to
formulate. I'm Amari Chazal. He's the first one that I think, as far as he's the first one to formulate them as a list of 13. There were those before. I believe Rav Sajid already began to develop lists of Ikarim. I mean, Chazal to a certain extent already engaged in that sort of idea. The Rambam first formulates, as far as we know, the first time he formulates the 13 Ikar Yamuna, and the most famous time he formulates it, is in the Pirush HaMishnayis, in the introduction to the Pirush HaMperichelet, the end of Sanhedrin. He construes it, and he presents it as a lengthy introduction in order to be able to fully discuss that first Mishnah. In general, all Jews have a chelek al haba, large or small. All Jews have a chelek al haba, with certain exceptions. The Mishnah says they have a chelek al haba, and some of the members of the list, the exceptions that don't have any al haba at all, are people running afoul of Ikar Yamuna, and that's why the Rambam says this is sort of laying the framework for let me lay it in greater detail what Chazal already speaking to. Chazal definitely speak extensively about Ikar Yamuna, not necessarily formulated as a list in the way the Rambam does. But that's true in general. There are plenty of halachic ideas, but the material is already there in the Torah Shabbat, and the Rambam was seeking to organize that material. Let's take a look here at Hadas HaShlishis, here on page Yudal. What's the third error? It's ironic, by the way, that Ramchal is engaging now in a definition of Yichud HaBorei in negative terms. We were talking before, the Rambam's idea, right, define HaKadosh Baruch Hu negatively, talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't. Now he's talking about the Ramchal is defining Yichud HaBorei by what it isn't. Yichud HaBorei is rejecting the notion that God is transcendent but not involved in actually powering the world. Yichud HaBorei is a rejection of the notion that there are two parallel deities, a good God and a bad God. Yeah, he did. It's just ironic that the presentation now is a negative one. Here, Hadas HaShlishis. What's mistaken notion number three? He das hamon ha'anashim. If the first two mistakes were the mistakes of Obadiah Avodah Zarah, now you have sort of the hoi polloi. What's a popular, vulgar notion? Shechoshevim, many people think, Shechoshevim shedivrei ha'olam hazeh holchim lefi chukos tivam. Should be a borei b'tachton. Many people have this idea that God created the world, and He created certain rules of nature. The hishtag lusam v'charit susam hi ha-mo'il. V'ad susam hu ha-mazik. Of course, the Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, many people think. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu created laws of principles of mathematics and physics and chemistry and so forth. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the system, and then it sort of works. and he's not actually involved in day to day. And he's just involved, he created the system, but now the system mindlessly works. So my success or my failure is a direct and result, an entirely result of my effort. Because, yes, God created matter and energy, and God created a system of laws, but now the laws just work. And this is what we can call the, what's often called the watchmaker approach. Well, God's a watchmaker, created the watch, and he set up the system, but now it's just working on its own. So if you, within that, or that's a lack of Yichud HaBorei, because it's assuming that God is no longer actively powering the universe, actively managing the universe, and a logical consequence of that mistaken notion is that it's all on me. As my success, as I said, my success, my failure is a total result of what I do, because the system just is what the system is. God put it in place, but now it works. So you know how the system works. You know what, you know, what you do with it is going to entirely create it. And says that's an idea that's already proposed and rejected in the Pasuk in Chumash, described and rejected in the Pasuk in Chumash. Ke'inyan, kochi va'otzim yadi asali yisachayel hazeh. The Chumash thoroughly rejects the notion that a person might adopt, that, you know, my success is totally a result of my hard work and my talent. Od yomru, they might also, another corollary of how people might express where this idea is taken. The idea might take them to say, it's all on me, results will be totally a consequence of my effort. Or they might take a more fatalistic, reactive approach and say, "Hakol talei b'mazel, mikra echad l'kol." What will be, it is what it is. That's a very non-active way of looking at the world based on this. But again, that whether this watchmaker approach drives you to work hard, or it might drive you to just be fatalistic and just let things happen as they will, mikre echad lakol, which is again a quote from Kohelas, a plain off a quote from Kohelas, engal derech hativi lo yosim leitivim l'ra'ah, it's just nature. It's just nature. Nature is, maybe God put nature in place, but now nature just works. Right? So it can lead you to feel like you're totally in charge. It can lead you to feeling like you're not in charge at all in a very fatalistic way. Either way, the notion that God set up the system but is no longer involved, that is erroneous notion number three, and that also represents a lack of Yichud HaBorei. Yeah.
I could be totally wrong, but I heard like there's like four levels of Shkachprotis, and like the last one for like someone maybe like doesn't believe is just subject to nature. Is that not a thing?
Many Rishonim do believe that there's a sliding scale of Ashkacha Pratis, that the closer I bring myself to Kadosh Baruch Hu, the more directly involved with Kadosh Baruch Hu in my life. But either way, I believe the Ramchal is going to take that up more thoroughly later on in Das Tunis, which I will get that far. There's this year or next year. But But for now, I would say you have to realize that it may be true. That's a larger question of how directly involved in my life. How directly is HaKadosh Baruch Hu managing my life? Mashallah Mahadavar Doma. Imagine the following, and I apologize if we've discussed this already earlier in the earlier Chaburas, but imagine the following. Let's say the mayor of a large city decides that he recognizes that 10,000, 15,000, 5,000 municipal offices, actual office rooms, and they don't have central air, so you have a unit, a window unit in each office, And they recognize that, many many people who work for the city don't turn off the air conditioner at night. They're lazy, they leave it running, they want it to be cold the next morning, they leave the air conditioner running at night. It's incredibly inefficient. It's a total blatant lack of energy conservation. And it's incredibly expensive and to no end. No one's there. It's such a waste on so many levels. So inefficient. So the mayor decides we need to get everyone to turn off the air conditioner and leave. The last person out of the room turns it off for the evening. How's he going to make that happen? So he signs an executive order that, you know, effective immediately or effective next week, whatever it is. The expectation that every office, the air conditioner is turned off when the last person leaves for the evening. How's he going to make that happen? So it's likely there'll be the first day there'll be the photo op, and there'll be one office where the mayor Bechvodo Vyatsma actually turns the air conditioner off. And whether it's his own office, whether it's the office of the most egregious offender, or whether it's one of the environmental offices, whatever it is, right, there'll be one or two offices where the mayor actually with his own fingers turns off the AC. But it's going to happen in the other 9,999 offices also. How? Because there's a system in place, an apparatus in place. He signs the executive order, then it moves down through the chain of command until every single employee of the city gets the memo that here's what you need to do as of today. Right? So the mayor is making it happen, sometimes more directly and sometimes through an apparatus that he has. But either way, the mayor is turning off all 10,000 air conditioning units, some more directly than others. But he's getting it done. Now, again, it's not an exact mashal for lots of reasons. Most obviously, because in a human system, in a human organization, so everyone is a independent player with their own bechira chafshis, and it may not always get done because it could be there's apparatus in place, but someone either through negligence or otherwise just didn't get the job done. So it could be not everyone will get the memo, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu's system is more perfect. But when we think about Malachim, in approximate terms, this captures the essence of that system. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created tools to get things done. Or think about it in a more primitive mashal. In other words, I can take a fork and knife and cut a piece of meat into pieces, or I can pull it apart with my fingers. But either way, I pulled it apart. Now, whether I was using your tools or whether I was hands-on, I got it done. So I think when we think about sliding scale of Ashkacha Pratas, one or the other of those mashallah captures, I think, the way we usually think about it. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing it, so to speak, more directly or through tools, through an apparatus that he has put into place? But either way, he's getting the job done. It's a question of how directly. It's a question of directness, and it's a question maybe also of how evident it is on the receiving end. How evident is it to us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of us? To what extent is he gloving his hand? That's, I think, the other variable in play. But not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu walked away and stuff has just happened. But let's keep our eyes open as we progress through Das Tfunos. Again, this is the watchmaker system. Maybe next time we'll pick up with the last two mistaken notions. But again, so far, so we saw three of the five ideas that violate an awareness of Yichud HaBoreh. Again, two were notions of Avodah Zarah. A third was sort of a very popular, vulgar notion. The two notions of Avodah Zarah were an assumption that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has underlings that take care of the world that he's uninvolved, or the notion that there are two parallel deities, one is the good God and one is the bad God. Both those are absolutely apocursus. The third idea, which runs afoul of Yichud HaBoreh, is to assume that God's the watchmaker who set up the system, created nature, but now nature just sort of operates on its own and he is uninvolved, doesn't know, doesn't care, and so on and so forth. There is room in within honest, accurate, authentic emunah to argue that there's a sliding scale of Ashkacha Pratis, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows cares and certainly is involved, perhaps in a less direct. He may be managing things in a less direct way. He may be managing things in a way that's less obvious to us, but not that he, Chalila, doesn't know, doesn't care, walked away, and the system is just ticking on its own. So next time at Shem, we will pick up with the last two erroneous ideas, that which he describes as the non-Jewish idea. We'll see what that is. And that which he describes as an idea of a sinful Jewish idea. So we will see where that takes us. And then an appreciation of what the five erroneous non-Yichud notions are will allow us to then move forward with appreciating what authentic, honest, accurate emuna really is. What is Yichud HaBori? And then we'll be able to move from an appreciation of the theoretical, abstract notion of accurate Yichud HaBori, that then we're going to begin to get more practical. What does that mean in terms of how I run my life? What does that mean in terms of how the world could look with a greater universal awareness of Yichud HaBori? Then we're going to move from there to appreciate the, again, as promised, the purpose and promise of the universe, and the purpose and promise of us in the universe. And then we're going to continue in the overall mission of Das Tfunos, which is to more fully understand and appreciate those final four of the 13 Ikarim. So I'm glad we're back in the saddle, and we'll get back to a weekly flow. I think next week we're probably going to meet for Das Tfunos on Wednesday instead of Monday, because Monday Rich is going to be out of town. Rich Hashem Wednesday will pick up at 4:30, and then after that, I think we'll be back into a regular Monday system.